lẹ́yìn Jésù kò sẹ́ nìkan o. Alágbára mo morúkọ rẹ̀, lẹ́yìn Jésù kò sẹ́ nìkan o. Ọba mímọ́ lọ́ba tí mo ń sin, tí mo ń sin, ẹni Jésù kò sẹ́ nìkan. Alágbára mo, alágbára mo, alágbára mo. Hallelujah. Can we please turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 22? 1 Samuel chapter 22. And I want to open up a series that I've titled Becoming a Mighty Man of David. Becoming a Mighty Man of David. I'll be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 22, and then I'll read from 2 Samuel chapter 23. I will start today, and then of course I'll continue next week. I promise us as much as possible we'll stay with time so that you can continue to come. 1 Samuel chapter 22. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave at Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debts, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. 400 men. See chapter 23, verse 3. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. And so you go back and see verse 22. No. Chapter 22, verse 2. So I want to add the last. Men that were in distress, men that were in debt, men that were discontented, and men that were afraid. I suppose that when David ran away to hide and he was in trouble, Saul was seeking after his life to destroy, and he went to hide. What do you think? I suppose the men that will follow David, or the men that will go to look for David, were men that were warriors. I didn't expect that a man that was in distress, a man that was in trouble, will still have people that were in distress to follow him. He needed men of power. He needed men of war. He needed men of strength, so that possibly they'll be able to encourage him even in the time of distress. But no, the Bible says, rather than him having men that will be of support, rather than him having men that will be of strength, the people that went to meet David were people that were in problem like him. And the Bible categorically stated the kind of men actually that went to meet David. They were men that you will not give countenance to. They were men that will not consider, you know, to be people that are worthy. They were not men that you consider, you know, to be friends, profitable men. Men that can be of support. Like I just taken a pledge from us, you know, and then I saw all categories of people. Students were here and I say, give to the Lord. You know, I saw people that depend on people. I say, make a pledge. Probably some people that don't have even jobs they are doing. I say, make a pledge. Those were the kind of people that went to David in the time of distress. They were not useful to him. They were not of any value to him. They couldn't help him against Saul, the enemy. But the Bible says that David accepted to be the captain over the people that were not useful. Accepted to be the captain over people that were not of blessing to him. And possibly make you to see why David accepted to be captain. You recall when they wanted to make a king, you know, for Israel. The Bible says that God commanded the prophet. He went to the father's house, his father's house, the house of Jesse. And said, well, God has asked me to come and anoint somebody here to be the king in your house. And of course, the father was joyful. There were children in the house. And there's a forgotten child somewhere. You know, and the Bible says, he said, bring the children. And even the prophet himself, Samuel, when the children started coming, he saw the first one. He said, my job is done. He said, I see the shape. I see the size. I see the height. I see the confidence. This. And God said, you keep quiet, brother. You don't say what I haven't asked you to say. You don't anoint somebody that haven't you to anoint. He said, no, that is not the man. And so I said, but God, if you're looking for height, this is the right person. If you're looking for eloquence, this is the right person. And you can say the father himself has said, I've been training this man to be a king, to be a leader. But God said, no. He said, Saul, have you forgotten? I don't look at the people's face. I don't look at the heights of men. I don't consider the height. I don't consider the build. I don't consider the grammar of men. He said, I see in a way that is different from the way men sees. I pray today that the Lord will see you and be pleased with you in Jesus' name. And God said to Samuel, he said, even though he appears to be the king, but he's been rejected. And he said to the father, he said, Father, God says this is not the king. Is there any other person in the house? He said, yes, if that is not, there's somebody else in the house. You know, you go call the second child. He lives in a self-contained, you know, in the house. Probably he's resting, watching DSTV. You know, he's under an AC, you know, and he's crossing his leg. Actually, he has the virtue of a king. And Samuel said, bring him. And when he came, oh, Samuel said, God, if I got the first one wrong, this one I can never get wrong. He said, he must be the king. And so he was going to pronounce. And God again said, come on, shut up. As God said to you before, shut up. You want to do something. You want to go away. And God said, come on, keep quiet. You know, some things, we stand garrulous before God. Like the Pharisees. The Pharisees, we say, you know, I give my tithe. You know, I go to church regularly. You know, I know how to pray. And so, I'm in line for blessing. God does not see that way. God does not think that way. God does not reward that way. And God said to Samuel again, he said, no, that's not the king. And all the children came. and all the children were rejected. But Samuel said to him, he said, I'm a prophet of God. God said to me, from this family will come the king. And the father said, all my children are done. I don't have any. And father was saying, possibly to Samuel, Samuel, you go hear God again. Probably you are getting it right. Probably God has not spoken to you. Or possibly you miss one of these people. Oh, and he said, oh, have a boy that we don't reckon with. Because if you reckon with that boy, you won't put the boy in the bush. One of the worst jobs you can do in Israel is to be kicking sheep. Getting them to see where to. Who are the people that do animal husbandry in Nigeria today? Do you understand that? People that didn't read. People that haven't gone to school. People that are rejects. People that have been countenanced. People whose destiny has been summarized. So you go live in the bush. He was a small boy. He was a young lad that was not worthy to live in the house. And he said, well, I think I still have a boy. Samuel said, go fetch him. Can you imagine when they went to fetch him? Everybody was seated. The first child, the second child, they were waiting for the rejects. They were waiting for the lost boy. Praise God. They understand. They were waiting for somebody that was not part of them. You know, sometimes we have some children and then we give them away. We send some children sometimes to an uncle, you know, to an aunt, you know, to take care of. Because we think that, you know, they will bring disgrace to the family. That was David. And David was brought in. And immediately, the feeble, the rejects, he has no strength. You know, somebody has been living in bush for a while. Is he going to look fresh? Is he going to look attractive? Is he going to look like it? No, he suffered. Some of you are lighter than this, but the turmoil and the labor of life has made you to look black. I'm sure David too has lost some color. I'm sure David has lost some complexion. But when David came in, glory to God, the Bible says he does not see like men sees. Men will look at the outward, but God will always look at the heart. And God said to Samuel, that is the king, and not him. Look at me. David will go from there to be a singer to God, even the presence of Samuel. Whoever knew that a singer was in a young lad that was tending sheep? He went ahead to kick Goliath. Whoever knew that this feeble guy that has just walked in will ever go ahead and kill a Goliath? In him was a king. In him was a hero. In him was a psalmist. In him was a great man. But listen, they were looking at a reject, a nobody, somebody that had been dispensed of. Probably you are here this morning, you've been written off. Nobody knows the name of your family. When God spoke to Gideon, Gideon said, you are going to be the deliverer of Israel. No, when God appeared to Gideon, Gideon was hiding and he was treading, you know, some grains. You know, because the country was under siege. The country was in trouble. You know, I was hiding somewhere. And God revealed Gideon. And God said, oh, ye man of valor. You know, sometimes we lose our identity because of the problem around our lives. You lose your nature because of the things you are going through. Gideon looked back. He said, God, you must not be talking to me. How can a mighty man of valor be hiding? How can a mighty man of valor be in distress? God said, I don't care whether you are hiding. I don't care whether you lost all the battle. He said, I see in you might that will deliver the people. We write ourselves off so many times. You know why? Because you think your life is your life.
If a man thinks that Christ in me is the hope of glory, he can sing a song in time of sorrow. He can jump up in time of distress. Because it's not about you, it's about God that is on the inside of you. Hallelujah, somebody. He didn't know. He didn't value himself. He didn't recognize the potential that was in him. He didn't know the kind of person that he was carrying. He didn't know the kind of God and the kind of call and the kind of purpose he was supposed to answer. Why? Because the country was in distress. Why? Because the country was in trouble. Why? Because the family name is a no name. Gideon said to the angel, he said, how can you say I'm a mighty man of valor? In my family, I'm a reject. Even my family is the smallest, you know, out of the tribe of Israel. In other words, we are the poorest of the poor. How can I say I'm going to deliver the people? He said, no, you see yourself that way. I see you in another light. And so when David was in trouble, and he fled from Saul, and this kind of people came, he remembered. I started the same way like the people I'm looking at. Do you belong to any of those categories? Are you in debt? You know, sometimes we run helter-skelter because of the burden of debt that is upon our life. Those were the kind of people. Did David have something to give to them? David himself was in debt. His account was in red. Somebody that was a fugitive, running away, up and down. How could he, you know, serve people that have debt? But yet, they came to him. He had nothing to, he was in the wilderness. He was not in a flat. He was not in Ikorodu. He was not in Ikeja. He was not anywhere good. Yet, they came to him. Not only that, not only people that were in debt came to him. The Bible says, people that were in distress. Other people too that were running away, you know, from Saul, they came to David. What form of distress do you have? What some distress are you going through? Say, these are the people. People that were tired. They've lost in life. They've given up in life. There's nothing giving them joy any longer. The Bible says those were the people that gathered unto them. And the Bible says he became a captain of those people. These same people. I want to pray today that God will make a hero of himself out of you in the name of Jesus. Your life will be a trophy of God's glory, of his kindness and his mercy. And your life will be a testimony to all in the name of Jesus. In 2 Samuel. Bible says of the same set of people. Just flip to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 400 rejects, 400 failures, 400 people that made no sense. But see in 2 Samuel 23:8, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. What has happened between 1 Samuel 22 and 2 Samuel 23? The Bible did not say these are the people in distress that David had. The Bible is no longer saying these are the hopeless people that David had. The Bible is no longer saying these are the people that were discontented that came, you know, to David. The Bible says they have become mighty men of David. From your station, you become a mighty man of God in the name of Jesus. You didn't hear that. From where you are today, God will make you to be a mighty man of him in the name of Jesus. Things are changed. Destiny has changed. God has met some people. David has trained some people. Wilderness experience has changed some people. Running away from Saul has changed some people. strength has been built. And at the end of the day, the Bible says, these are no longer the same men. The Tacomanites that sat in the seats, chief among the captains, the same was Adino, the Hesnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Somebody said, how did that possible? The Bible says it happened. One man, 800 people. Can you imagine that? Surrounded in the period of war, 800 around him. I suppose that he should run away. What do you think? I suppose he should ask for backup. What do you think? These are same people in 1 Samuel 23. When David was going to go out to fight, David asked God, said, God, should I go and deliver the people? God said, you go deliver the people. And he said, boys, let's go. And he said, we are afraid. You understand? The same people. And say, we are fearful. We can't go. That was when they were in class. That was when they were in training. He was going to ask them, okay, let's go for the first field trip. I said, David, we haven't gathered enough experience. We can't go out to war. But here the Bible says one of them. 400 say we can't go out yet. But here, the Bible says one of the mighty men of David stood in war with his spear and he killed 800 people at one time. That is talking about skill in warfare. The Bible says it teaches my hand to war and my fingers to battle. One time, he destroyed all of them. The Bible says not only that, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Hawite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose. When they were in war, look at me. And they were ready to fight. The Bible says all the men disappeared. But the Bible says of Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Say to your neighbor, Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Kishe Dodo. The Bible says that, listen, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. And his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Did you get that? Now, when it was time for battle, they saw arms of steel. They saw big men and mighty men. And the Bible says that the one told the other, he said, Pastor, Bufe Lotto. The one said to the other, "Oni mombo, igbengbon mi," you know, and disappeared. One said to the other, he said, "I need to take some sachet of pure water," you know. That one disappeared. One said that mo gbagbe handkerchief mi. Do you understand? I can't mi o dagbere nle pe an lo soju ogun, and that one disappeared too. But this guy, how can you carry people to war? And everybody disappeared except one person. Eleazar, the son of Dodo. He said, I'm prepared. Whether I need to take water, I'm here. Whether I don't need to take water, I'm here. You know, sometimes when you plan your strategy and say, this is the platoon that will face the west. This is the platoon that will face the east. This is the platoon that will face the north. You just look suddenly. The platoon that will face the west has disappeared. The north has disappeared. The east has disappeared. And find out you are the only one. Have you been war before? They said, therefore, Dodo said to himself, no retreats, no surrender we continue to fight until somebody dies. The people, Eleazar was one of the people that were in distress that ran to David. Eleazar was one of the people that were in distress, you know, that were discontented. He was one of the people that David said, let's go to war, and say, I'm afraid. But this time around, something had happened. And Eleazar, the Bible says, he was fighting with his sword. And he fought so well that when even he was tired, and he thought, let me lead the sword and possibly let me to bid retreat, he opened his hand like this. The sword had gone into the tissue. It looked like the sword had been sewn to the hand. And when he did like this, he was still killing people. That was one of the men of David. And the man of David, the Bible says that when the enemies came, their source of income, their source of life, you know, the trash mill, where money will come, you know, to the people, where people we have food to eat, he said, I'm going to protect this place. No matter what comes, I'm not going to leave this place. No matter what the enemy is doing, he said, I'm not going to leave this place. These are men of David. And the Bible says that he waited. He protected the source of business, the source of income of the land, until he was able to win that war. One day, David just, you know, I don't know, you know, you people that yawn. David just say, I want to drink water that is in Bethlehem. Where Philistines were, where they were fighting against you. He just said it. I said, he didn't know that his men had. And the Bible says that three of them, I suppose, just went and said, our master wants to drink water. And they left. And the Bible says that they killed Philistines just to get to a well to fetch a cup of water. What level of loyalty is that? What level of commitment is that? And the Bible says, after they got the water, and I said, David said, emi kan yan temi money. Emi o serious pe mo fe mu mi. How can I drink this water? It's your blood if I drank this water. It is not about the water. It is about the commitment of those people. People that have been trained over time. Let me round up this session by saying this to you. King David was an example of Jesus Christ. You and I were the people. Did you know how you got born again, actually? You know that originally, the plan was the Jews should be saved. But they rejected him. You go to Israel today, they are still rejecting Jesus. The Bible says when they rejected him, he brought us in. You remember the parable in the book of Matthew? He said he prepared, you know, a sumptuous meal, you know, for the people, for professors, you know, for the academics of this life, you know, for businessmen of this life, for people living in eyebrow areas of this life, you know, there was a table, golden spoon, golden fork, you know, and the table stretched like this was made of marble, you know, and the plate on it was made of gold, because he was expecting, you know, a whole lot of people that are VIPs, not even VIPs alone. Great men, worthy men, men of honor. But the Bible says none showed up. They didn't come for the dinner. And the Bible says the man said, my food will not waste. The grace will not waste. The provision will not waste. And he says to them, you go unto the street. He said, begin to bring unto me people you find. He found the distressed people. He found the hopeless people. He found the people that were tired of life. He found the people that had no name. He found the people that lost hope. He had the people that war has made no meaning to. People that were about to commit suicide. People that are about to give up on life. People that are about to give up on their parents. Parents are about to give up on their children. Those are the people they gather on the roadside. He said, don't worry, you coming. And when the first side came, he said, no, they are not enough. You see the table, you see the food, you see the Sabbath, you see the provision. You go back and get more of them. And the servant said, Master, is it the kind of people that you want? He said, no. The people that I want, I rejected. Bring everybody that can come. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how we have access to the provision of the king. The reject and the forgotten sought out David. And David said, I'm going to be their commander. Jesus, when you gave your life to him, has become your commander. Jesus, when you gave your life to him, has become your savior. He's become your way maker. He's become your hope. Oh, he said, bed, I was nobody. No, it's not about being somebody. It's about you surrendering to him. When the people surrender to David and say, be our commander. And then something started happening in their lives. By the virtue of the fact that they've given the control of their life to David, David started training them. And so David said to them, I'll be in the wilderness. They said, we are going to be in wilderness with you. And say, I'm running around. I'm a vagabond in the wilderness. I say, I'm going to be. They said, you are going to be in the wilderness together with you. Next week, I'll be talking to you about what actually made those ordinary men to become an extraordinary man. Your story might be ordinary. Your story might not be like the story, you know, of Saul when he became Paul. You might not see Jesus appear. You might not see a light. You are just nobody. Even when you came to Christ, you did not understand what you were doing. Even when you gave your life to him, you were coming out and you are smiling. I've seen some people like that. They were coming out to give their lives to Christ and they are still pressing their phone. The how you've come does not matter. But what God is going to make out of your life is the most important. And I bet you something. When you come to Jesus, he will make a meaning out of your life. The way you look now does not matter. Your story now does not matter. Listen. How you are going to end is the most important thing. And I bet you that God has a plan for your life. He has a future for your life. He has a hope for your tomorrow. And listen, look at me. A little here, a little there. God is making sense out of the senseless of your life. He's making story out of the shambles of your life. And he's making testimony out of the nothingness of your life. Why? Because you are joined with Jesus Christ. I've never seen somebody that say, be my commander, and you remain the same. Even if you like look ordinary today, as long as you surrender to him, you are going to be a hero, a mighty man of God tomorrow. Jesus comes into our lives and he makes a meaning out of your life. He doesn't come into your life to reduce you. Are you here this morning? And you are distressed. The 400 of them, they said, David, become our captain. Lead us. We are going to follow. Wherever you lead us, we are going to follow. I make you see next week. That yes, 400 of them, at a stage, the Bible record, they grew to become 600. But the sad thing, not all of them evolved to become mighty men of David. Because some say, be our commander. But indeed, they were not following him. This morning, give Jesus a chance. And say, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. It's a different thing to get him to be your Savior. And that is for you to allow him to be your Lord. Can you close your eyes? Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the life in your word. We thank you for the hope that your word gives. We thank you for the strength that your word gives. We thank you because you are changing us gradually to becoming like your own. Thank you for the light. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, I commit your people to you. As God walks on the inside of us, I pray that the grace and the strength to continue to yield, you will give unto us. We continue to turn and turn and turn until we become like Jesus Christ. Let this week be the best unto us as we go. Let favor beckon. Let grace beckon. Let answers to prayer beckon. Lord, we pray that we have testimony. Our lives will not remain the same. I pray that our children shall love the Lord. They will know the Lord and they will serve him. And the Lord will not be disappointed with our lives. We will fulfill purpose in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And the people of God say,
amen.
Come on, put your hands together for the Lord.